Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to today's episode of the New Cyber Frontier podcast. We have a special guest today, Pam Shockley, who is the Chancellor of the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. Welcome today, Pam, and thanks for joining our podcast.
Well, I'm pleased to be here.
So Pam, first of all, we want to know about you. What's your background?
I started many years ago as a television and video producer and worked in a variety of emerging technologies over years. I've always, always loved to teach. And so during this period of time, I got my PhD in organizational communication and was the first person hired in the communications department at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And I've been here ever since. I still teach from time to time. And I was named the chancellor on an interim basis in 2001 and then the permanent chancellor in 2002. So I've been here a long time. I love what we're trying to accomplish and what we're doing. And it's an exciting time to be at UCCS.
Yeah. Did you always see yourself in teaching and at a university or?
No. I did not. I've spent a lot of time in really Fortune 100 companies looking at organizational effectiveness, organizational design, and the trust models that we've developed with some of our research. But I so fundamentally love to teach that combining teaching and research and then developing programs that really work within a community is just kind of a natural fit for what I like to do.
Yeah, well, I can see why you're kind of at the head of this NCIC effort, which I've heard has a new name. Did they decide on what that is going to be yet?
There is not, as of this morning, a firm decision on a new name. We do very much look at taking the word intelligence out of the name because it gives a connotation across the country and actually across the globe that doesn't reflect really what we're trying to do with this effort.
And what's the thoughts of the change of removing intelligence? What is the focus of it?
Well, we're not, the focus of what is still the NCIC until we do a clarity and check on a name change. The focus is really research, education, workforce development, rapid response around cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not the intelligence community.
Okay.
Although certainly the intelligence community interfaces with cybersecurity. No question about that. But we are not going to be doing intelligence within the center. We might be supporting problems. We might be looking at issues mm-hmm. on behalf of those who are in the intelligence community. I'm not saying there are not strong relationships, because of course there are. But we are not going to be doing intelligence.
Okay. And that makes sense. Kind of head in that direction. So do you have a background in cybersecurity? What's your...
No, I do not have a background in cybersecurity. I do not have a computer science background or a technical background. My role in this comes about by being chancellor at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
For over a year prior to the formation of this new organization, we had been convening public, private sector, industry, government, academia in Colorado Springs to look at the emerging opportunities both from an economic development point of view, from an educational point of view, and the workforce development needs. So we've been at that for about a year when the governor also in a parallel track was, Governor Hickenlooper, was looking at how Colorado can have a larger presence in this obviously major need in our country that cuts across everything everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And so my role is to look at organizational design, the catalytic effect of what the academic programs that we already have, the partners that we have, because we're part of an eight institution, national consortium, that's come together to provide some cyber workforce development and training and education. Mine is to design the organizational structure.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Because we're part of an eight institution national consortium that's come together to provide some cyber workforce development and training and education. Mine is to design the organizational structure, work on what are the resources needed, and then have the technical folks work their magic. Mm-hmm. Because I am not a cybersecurity expert at all. That would be dangerous for the university and the country if I presented myself as such.
So as kind of taking that into account, what would you define cybersecurity as?
I would not define it technically, but it is a systemic approach, and this is the manner in which we're developing the center, a systemic approach that cuts across multiple institutions, stakeholders, constituency groups, to create the ability to use our cyber-mediated world in a secure fashion. So cybersecurity is people, it's products, it's research, it's workforce development. It is how we work as a system, as we have other critical infrastructures in our history.
Mm-hmm.
We've created systemic work in the highway systems. If going way back many, 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 many years, we looked at systemically what kind of an ecosystem do you create. Well, for us, we're trying to look at the cybersecurity ecosystem, really. And for me, and it's not for me to say a definition of cybersecurity, what I'm looking at, though, is the interface. It is not just the technology. It's the behavioral aspects. It's who are the most likely sets of folks who will be victims. How do we then create within research, within education, within training, within new product development, how do we create a secure system of cyber? Mm-hmm. I'm taking it backwards on the words. So that vulnerable populations, one good example. We know right now, and there are others, but we know that as people age, and particularly single people as they age, men or women, are very vulnerable to cyber hacking.
Hmm. Interesting. So of all, you know, with what you kind of give me as a definition, a little bit about the organization here, how do you see the players and who's involved from the kind of the ground up phase
right.
of this? How do you see that
well,
developing?
The players are very diverse. Right now, many of the academic institutions in Colorado are going to be involved. We have seven partners externally to the state of Colorado going to be involved on the academic side. That is workforce training. That is degree programs. UCCS has four degree programs already that are NSA and Department of Homeland Security certified as centers of excellence. We've built those programs over years. This is not new. Mm-hmm. So there's a very deep collaborative work that needs to take place among the educational institutions. That's going to happen. There's also workforce training that may not be tied to specific degrees, but to certification-specific skills, because we have such a gap between the jobs available and people who are really trained to go in and begin to do those jobs. So that's one bucket, broadly speaking. And in that bucket is also research, because we can't ever stay at the level of knowledge we have today. Mm-hmm. That will make us more vulnerable down the road. Mm-hmm. So there has to be, as education and training take place, some focused research that helps us understand how to better define products, how to better define networks, how to better define systems, but how to also train people as consumers who are vulnerable, or as people who are implementing organization-wide systems, to what are the vulnerabilities. So that's a piece of it. There is the conception of a rapid response center, where we will be able, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses, and this will be something that won't be done by the university, but some of the partners who will head this up may well be in the private sector, mm-hmm. who will come together in collaborative efforts so that if I'm being hacked and I am a small business, I have an immediate resource to try to find areas of where I can get assistance. And then how can we take the learnings across? See, one of the things that virtually everyone has been hacked in one way or another, whether they know it or not, but we haven't taken the learnings across very well. They've stayed pretty much in stovepipes. That's not completely true. Mm-hmm. So the Rapid Response Center would focus there. And then there's a key component, and this was certainly Governor Hickenlooper's thinking, that public officials do not have adequate knowledge to make the decisions or even ask the questions about what they should be doing within counties, within cities, within states. So we're going to be holding our first event in November of this year with people from the National Governors Association and the National Mayors Association. Because there's also the decision makers in our country who need ways to not become technical experts, but have a better understanding of how to respond to the recommendations they're being given by technical folks, mm-hmm. or to some of the issues of interagency operability that are so critical, even with our current technologies.
Mm-hmm. So I always look at the ultimate benefactor of mm-hmm. cybersecurity is the individual, the person.
Oh, absolutely.
That in so many discussions, we've heard NSA, mm-hmm. DHS, university names, large organizations that go across mm-hmm. the country, corporations, private sector. But really, if we say, how do we connect this all the way down to the people? Why do people at that level have a need, or should they care to be involved with this?
Oh my goodness, yes, because let's look at some of the major breaches in the country. And I'm not going to name names because I'm not blaming any particular corporation. But there have been retailers and healthcare companies, to be very specific. That immediately impacts the individual. All of my information, my social security number, my date of birth, everything else, along with all of my employees on this campus have been breached. So yes, that was a corporate mm-hmm. hack, but it's my information and some of the people who work here. So there isn't, with cybersecurity, in the way in which we do all sorts of transactions, whether it's buying something with a credit card, whether it is being a part of a healthcare plan, whether it is banking, we are individually integrated with these larger networks and systems.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, BOCOR has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, BOCOR is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BoCor team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BoCor.com. BoeCore.com. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And we, therefore, are impacted. This is our daily lives.
Yeah. So as far as this effort, though, what's going on in Colorado? You know, I've talked to some young people and they're like, why would I bother even wanting to get involved with what's going on here? It's all about making people rich, making governments more powerful, making big brother capability, making companies have big data that they can analyze and track me. Why should I get involved at that level?
Well, I think there are probably two or three answers. One, it always troubles me to hear people say that that's how young people view this. That isn't my experience with the young people with whom I work, but I know there is some of that healthy skepticism or unhealthy skepticism out there, no question. But it is going to affect their personal lives. All of their technology is involved with that, whether it's a phone, whether it's a computer, whether it's their automobiles, which are going to be hacked into with the kind of technologies that we have on automobiles, for example. So everyone is going to be impacted. So you should care because it is you.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it is a viable and positive career field for a number of people.
Yeah.
It's a growth industry that's not going to be transported offshore in a way that many of our industries are vulnerable in that sense of how you have a global workforce. Number three, it is going to change and morph so that it will have an interest over a lifespan that I think most people will be intrigued with. I think the sense that big government or big corporations or big educational institutions have a lock on this is flat wrong. And so I don't think everybody should be interested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think everybody needs to be interested, but a core number of people need to be interested.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to be affected.
Agreed that we'll all be affected. So what do you see as success for this Colorado effort? What says we've made it? What are we heading towards to say that this is what we're...
Well, I think we can claim success when we have some offerings that help decision makers really make better informed decisions without having to be technical experts. I think we will claim success when we have a pipeline of the workforce that's better prepared to take the jobs that are of critical need. I think we can claim success when we see Colorado growing in the numbers of cybersecurity companies or divisions within companies. I don't think it's all going to be new cybersecurity companies, but ways of dealing within companies. And that we are recognized as providing real quality and value added. Will we solve the whole problem? No, of course not. It's a much bigger issue than one state or even one nation is going to deal with. But should we make some measurable progress? Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us what UCCS is doing for the career development, for workforce development. What kind of programs you have here?
Well, we have an undergraduate degree, including a security emphasis in our Bachelor of Innovation degree. Very strong, high employability of all of those young people.
I hear a lot of good things about the Bachelor of Innovation
degree.
It
is an extraordinary program. and it has a cybersecurity emphasis, among other emphases mm-hmm. that you can take. So the Bachelor of Innovation program knits together cyber experts with people who understand business development, entrepreneurship, and creative communication. It's a multidisciplinary degree. It is dynamite. That, of course, we're going to have to grow the program mm-hmm. because we have more people interested than we even have slots in some of the areas of emphasis, not in all. We still have room for growth in the program. We need to grow that. We have master's programs for people who are more technically oriented, and then we have a PhD program with a cyber emphasis. We will grow those programs over time. But we also are going to develop, I believe, what you would almost say a behavioral science set of programs that dovetail with the technical programs. And the big issues are vulnerable populations, and how do you educate them? How do you deal with the cyber vulnerability that comes about by being a vulnerable population? What are the ways of looking at, if you're an institution, hiring? We now know that one of the greatest reasons that a company, large or small, or an institution is hacked is that they hire people in who then open their technology to the attack.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of practices? Ethics, and then public policy. So you're going to see degree programs, because we are really at the center of this in terms of geographic location, and the center is going to be in one of our buildings that's going to be renovated.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see a very cross-cutting set of programs evolve that will have real relevance, because it isn't just a technology issue. It is an important and critical technology issue. It's also a people issue.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, more of the hacks come because, and I'm not just talking about the people who are the hackers, I'm talking about people mistakes and people vulnerabilities escalate the impact of the hacking.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that the NCIC is going to be in one of your buildings and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
How much do you see that this is more of a community effort that's independent of UCCS, or is it kind of a wing of UCCS?
No, it's independent of UCCS, and it is a part of UCCS. We will contribute very specific things, but it's independent. It's bigger than what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And or what any one institution would be. I think that's the strength of it. So I'm not denigrating what we will contribute. I'm simply saying this is bigger than mm-hmm. UCCS. It's bigger than any single institution. And I think having the military, the public sector, the private sector, academia, training groups, all collaborating together is the strength of what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I know also UCCS has a lot of venture capital type clubs and programs here, and that's a big piece of what's going to be needed in this community.
Exactly.
Tell us what you see and how you see what you're doing fitting in and what's needed overall
for the
community to grow in this area.
I think having some of this research technology development then provides accelerator opportunities for companies. So I think it's part of that larger ecosystem. Some of it will be our students, some of it will be our faculty, some of it will be people working in concert with private companies.
Mm-hmm.
I see all sorts of things. It's everything from SBIRs to venture capital to a whole set of entrepreneurial opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think with the workforce that we'll have available, we'll attract even some larger investment in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you've already put in or reached out to try and draw in that investment funding type of wing?
Well, we're having conversations. We are. Yeah. We're having a lot of conversations.
Okay. So kind of in closing out here, I just wondered, anything that you want to release to the public that you could use help with, you could reach out to people with?
Well, right now we're in the process of identifying people who want to partner with this effort. And so people who have a serious interest and some capabilities, and without defining that too narrowly, because mm-hmm. I don't want to define it narrowly, I would really urge them to contact us, to contact Ed Anderson, who right now is the interim director, and because we're having broad conversations rather than narrowly defining all of the avenues of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So encourage people to just contact us.
Yeah. Can you give us any kind of timelines to what we've expect? We could expect to see, set some anticipation, or
with people? Well, we will be soon doing the first phase of the renovation of the building so that it can be occupied. The timeline that is most well established is the kickoff in November with the National Governors Association and the Mayors Association. I think after the first of the year, we will have some very concrete timelines that we can talk about in specific initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, feel free to reach out to me or to us for any new thing you want to release, and we'll definitely help get the word out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you very much for joining today. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.